I remember whenever I was still a Southern Baptist, I actually had a pathway to avoid college and avoid seminary and just go right into being a pastor. But whenever the Lutheran option was presented, 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary, there's no way I'm going to be a Lutheran pastor. You cannot make me do this. And then Concordia St. Paul offers the $0 tuition guarantee. I was like, okay, maybe there's a way that this could work out. And then I hear about this Regent-based scholarship. And I was thinking, if I can devote all my attention to my studies, if I can devote all my attention to the biblical languages, to studying the primary text, to memorizing Greek paradigms and working on my sermons, and I don't have to worry about this large financial debt. I want to have a family someday too, and I don't want to have all this debt looming over me. This makes all the difference in the world. I'm excited for my future.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we get to continue our Set Apart to Serve series with recent graduates of Concordia University St. Paul and Concordia University Chicago. They also happen to be recipients of the merit-based Regents Scholarship at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us in studio today, those recent graduates of Concordia University's, not new to The Coffee Hour,
No. Not
new to the studios at KFUO, for one of the guests as well. Joining us today, Robert Finch. He's a 2026 graduate of Concordia University St. Paul, attending Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne this fall. He's also recipient of the merit-based Regents Scholarship at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour, Robert.
Thank you for having me back.
We talked, it's been a couple of years, I think, because you were in, what, freshman year maybe?
That's right.
Concordia St. Paul. Yeah,
it's been that many years? Oh, man.
It's been a minute.
I thought that was like last year.
They grow up so quick.
They do grow up so quick. You're right.
Also joining us in studio, Evan Magnus. He's a 2026 graduate of Concordia University Chicago, also attending Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne this fall, and also a recipient of the merit-based Regents Scholarship at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And I might add, former KFUO radio intern, Evan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. Thank you.
It is great to have you in studio again, Evan, and glad that you could come spend some time with us. It's nice to have you both in studio rather than talking online, which we get to do quite often with our guests. It's nice to actually have you in studio, which means we also get to give you some fun KFUO swag while
it's
you're
true.
Here today,
you
too.
We got swag from many
loot.
Places in
yes,
the building today.
And set apart to serve some swag from them
KFUO
as well.
KFUO loot box.
we're glad to have you guys here today and to learn about your experience as students at Concordia Universities and your preparation to go to Concordia Theological Seminary. Why did you choose to study at Concordia University St. Paul, Robert?
Well, initially, I decided not to study at CSP because I knew it was really cold there. And so I was like, there's
fair.
No way I'm going that far up north.
Relatable.
That's right. But I heard that Dr. Reed Lessing up there started teaching, and he reached out to me because he found out I was really interested in the biblical languages. And initially, CSP did not have the best biblical languages program. So he reached out to me, I reached out to him, and I said, I want to master the languages to the best of my ability before I go to seminary, whichever one that was at the time. And so he reached out to me and he said, if you come to Concordia St. Paul, I will go one-on-one with you in Greek and Hebrew every single semester until you graduate. So not only did he fulfill that promise, but he also created additional biblical language classes for myself and for my colleagues as well. And so because of that promise, I knew I wanted to go to CSP. And then whenever I went up to visit, it was incredibly hospitable. They were extremely quick with all of their email responses and with their calls. They were just so hospitable, welcoming. And I even went on a day when it was snowing and sleeting outside. And sorry to the other Concordias. Sorry, Evan. I canceled all my tours to the other Concordias and locked in on Concordia St. Paul.
And after that deal, I don't blame you.
Yeah, Dr. Lessing is really a gem. That is really wonderful that he was able to do that for you and add more formation opportunities for you and for other students at Concordia St. Paul. How do you feel that experience for you has prepared you for your upcoming adventures at Concordia Theological Seminary?
Well, I think for myself and for a lot of people, the scariest idea about the seminary are the biblical languages. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't go to Concordia, then you have to take kind of a theological language boot camp for about 8 weeks, 10 weeks, something like this. And it can be fairly intense. But now, because of the one-on-one training I received from Dr. Lessing, I read in the Greek and Hebrew Bible every morning for my devotions instead of out of my English Bible. So to know that I'm acquainted with God's word in the original languages. I can parse pretty okay. I'm even working through like ancient Greek philosophers in Greek right now because of a book that Dr. Reed Lessing gave to me. And so I feel like because of that, the anxiety of the original languages is just not there like it would have been had I not been able to receive that one-on-one training and the classes that he and the new professor, Dr. Kendall Davis, started to offer.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to check in with you in another 4 years to see how the rest of your formation has gone, but that is for a future conversation. Evan, why did you choose to go to Concordia University Chicago?
For a while, I was actually considering a CUNE, Concordia, Nebraska, and then when I actually visited Concordia Chicago, that's kind of what settled me on Concordia Chicago. Everything I studied there, all the classes I took there in the theology department, were either centered on one of two things. They either had the gospel at the center, or they had the Lutheran confessions at the center informing everything that was taught in the courses. Which kind of goes with their new slogan they adopted a few years ago, Christ at the Center, which I think is very important. They had the gospel at the forefront and also the Lutheran confessions, and having a strong confessional Lutheran identity at the forefront of everything they did. And that was what really drew me to CUC.
How did Concordia University Chicago prepare you for this next chapter at seminary?
Well, I'll just go back to having the gospel at the center of everything, right? Because I think one thing that I didn't always quite grasp was the servanthood nature of being a called minister of Christ in the holy ministry. And what I mean by that, I haven't read the book yet, but it's the book, The Care of Souls. I still need to read that, but I know even just from that title alone, I can kind of grasp the general truth of the ministry. If you are a called pastor of Christ, and that's what you're called to do, you are called to care for the souls of Christ's flock. You're called to be a shepherd. And at the core of that is the gospel of Christ, proclaiming the gospel to those who need to hear it, the forgiveness of sins. And of course, there's the Walther Long gospel distinction, but that's, I digress. and my point is that the courses I took at CUC and also the pre-seminary program as a whole always had that gospel emphasis at the core of everything. And I was constantly having emphasized to me the importance of proclaiming the gospel, and having that constantly reinforced to me was a constant reminder of this is what we are called to do as those who are preparing for the ministry. Proclaim the gospel and care for the souls of the flock, not just be bulwarks of doctrine and of law.
So let's talk about what life was like for both of you at your respective Concordias. Do you like hang out with other church work students? How do you support each other? What were your professors like? What were all of those aspects of your life at Concordia University for the last 4 years? Robert, I'll start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I first attended Concordia St. Paul, there were about 8 or 9 of us in the pre-seminary program and about 30 people in the church work program altogether. So it was a very small Concordia University. By the time I left, we had 42 pre-seminary students and 102 church work students altogether. So the community was phenomenal by the time I left. We have 10 chapel services every week, 5 Monday through Friday morning and 5 Monday through Friday evening. And the evening services, all the students get to partake in that. Like I led Compline on Friday nights. And so just the chapel environment was the best way to have that community with other church work students. We all meet 15 to 10 minutes before chapel starts. We're all talking, drinking coffee, having goofy shenanigans, talking about Septuagint or whatever else pre-seminary nerds talk about. We were doing all of that. And it wasn't just the pre-sem people and the Lutheran classroom teacher people, it was all of the church work students found a lot of stuff in common. Like, for example, I was part of the pep band at our football games, not because I'm good with music. It's because I'm really loud at playing the gong. That's why I got included in this. But I was playing with Lutheran classroom teachers and directors of Christian education. So we were part of different events like this outside of the classroom, outside of chapel, where we got to interact with each other. It was incredibly helpful to build up that community. One of my favorite ways was I started this theology club. We talked about this a few years ago, Appetizers and Theologianizers, where we ate snacks and we read through the Book of Concord together. And this was huge for myself and for other people. Initially, just like 5 people attended whenever I first started. But this year, we had anywhere from 15 to 25 people every single week to eat snacks and read through the small called articles in the Book of Concord. So this was just a phenomenal way, not just for us to talk about theology, but to learn how to talk about these complex concepts with one another. And because there are a lot of Muslims on campus, we would occasionally have Muslims attend the club as well. How do you talk about the Book of Concord? How do you talk about the subordination of the divine person to someone who is a Muslim? It was such a unique challenge. So for us church work students to work together to talk with people who are not church work, not even Christian, was a phenomenal challenge. And I think that we really got this modeled from our professors, who were very kind with us. They did such a great job of explaining tough theological concepts to us, broke it down for us, had debates with us, conversations. And so it started with the professors, but the community here was just phenomenal throughout my time here.
Sounds like a lot of really good relational experiences and playing a gong very loudly, which is a classic part of every college pep band experience.
That's right.
So I'm glad you got to be able to do that for sure. Evan, what was life like for you at Concordia University, Chicago, the community, your professors, the classes? Talk to us about that.
Well, I'll start the same place Robert started, with the chapel life at CUC. I don't think we had quite as many services each week. I think you said you had 10 a week, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we don't have quite the number. We had a close to that, I think, at about 9 a week. We have a daily chapel every day at around 11 a.m. In the format would typically vary. Some days we do morning prayer, sometimes we do matins. I think about maybe once or twice a month we do a service of Tezay on Thursdays. And of course, we also have student-led prayer offices on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights. Compline Monday, Vespers Tuesday, and evening prayer on Thursday. Wednesday night, divine service, which is not student-led, of course. You can't have student-led sacrament.
That's good.
But yeah, that would be led by, typically by Chaplain Raddatz. We used to have Chaplain Leiniger, but then he took a call to First St. Paul's after my freshman year, and we got Chaplain Raddatz in. And that divine service typically takes place after. I think the deaconesses have their little meeting before that, and then there's also the pre-sem program. We have a pre-sem fellowship for about an hour before divine service, which is at 6. Divine service is at 6:20 p.m. on Wednesday nights. A friend of mine, Tyler Tricky, actually started a matins service during his freshman year. He started up a service of matins on Saturday mornings, so that we got up to the 9 service mark. And we used to have Sunday morning services as well. That changed once we got Chaplain Raddatz in. And the format changed, so we got rid of the Sunday morning divine service in church and started encouraging students to go out into local congregations instead, which I think was actually a pretty solid move. I eventually started attending at St. John Lutheran in Forest Park with Reverend Payton. Other students went elsewhere. Typically, students would go to St. John and Wheaton, or Apostles Lutheran and Melrose, among a few others like First St. Paul, where Leiniger started serving. So that's the chapel life. We had a really solid chapel life. I don't think we had as many theological nerd conversations before a chapel as Robert did, for better or for worse. How big is your narthex, actually? I'm curious. I digress, but you have a pretty cramped narthex, or is it spacious outside?
It's pretty
chapel?
Spacious, yeah.
Okay, we have a very cramped narthex, so we have, given the influx of students and faculty before chapel, it gets kind of crammed in there, so even if we tried to discuss theology, probably have a hard time hearing each other. Anyway, so really strong chapel life at CEC, which is a blessed thing and a joy. I actually got to play organ for chapel a couple of times. I never actually got to play for a whole divine service. I never got to that level. But I was able to play prelude and hymns for a few chapel services, which was a blessing. Got to lead a few student-led evening prayer services, which is also great and wonderful. As for the student life, I think that I can't speak for the LTEs and DCEs. I'm not as invested in those programs. But as for pre-SEM guys and I suppose the church work in general too, we all get along quite well, I would say. But then again, I'm a bit of a socially awkward odd duck. So I wasn't as in tune with all the drama. But overall, we got along quite well. It was a very positive environment to be in. As for professors and classes, I was very blessed to study under two professors in particular, Dr. Sorensen and Dr. Robert Sorensen and Dr. James Lee. Both phenomenal professors. I had Dr. Sorensen for my Greek courses when he was still here. He retired this past year, which I'm glad for him, but I was also really sad to see him go because he was such a wonderful professor. Had him for my Greek courses, and I'm not sure what text Robert and your guys at CSP use for their classes. We use the Gresham Machen New Testament for Beginners. Wonderful course. He explained everything quite well, and he was wonderful and taught everything so effectively and just so clearly. It didn't feel like we were going through textbook at all when we were going through Greek or any of the languages with him. Everything was so clear and felt so natural to learn from him. Had him for Old Testament as well. And best course I took in all of Concordia Chicago had to be intertestamental period, going over things such as the apocryphal readings and the pseudepigrapha and the time between the two testaments, learning about the Essenes and the Qumran community and the Dead Sea Scrolls. All of that was just phenomenal. And it was a really cool course too. It was met once a week for about an hour and 50 minutes on Thursday nights. This is my junior year, by the way. And we would just, throughout the week, we would take time to ourselves to be independent study. We would select a work from a category, like, for example, one week we'd have the category, we would have a set of books from the Apocrypha and the category of like stories, like books like Tobit or Judith and that sort of thing that follow like a set narrative. We do independent study in the library and we come back and present all of our findings on that work in class. And Sorensen would lecture a bit, but it was largely student study driven, and it was just wonderful to have all these independent perspectives on these works from different students. It's a phenomenal experience, and I love the way he led that class. Sorry to see him go, but I'm also grateful that he's able to have a blessed retirement now. Dr. Lee also was phenomenal. Had him for church history and for Formula of Concord and for class on Martin Luther. Martin Luther's a small class. There was only six of us, and it was very much a discussion-based class. It was a very blessed time. But one thing I really appreciate about Dr. Lee is how he's able to center everything on either the gospel or on the Lutheran confessions. He's probably a big part of why CEC had such a strong emphasis on Lutheran confessional identity, because you can see it in his classes. Everything is centered on Lutheran confessions. This is what we confess as Lutherans, and this is how we confess the gospel. Everything he taught in church history or in Martin Luther is centered upon that. And I was really grateful to have him as a professor. I even got to have him as a mentor for my senior thesis this past semester, which was wonderful.
It sounds like you both had a great experience at your respective Concordia universities, learned a lot, enjoyed the community there, and were strengthened by that community and your connection as well with the professors. We're going to talk more with Evan and Robert, learn more about their experience at Concordia Universities, and also what's coming up next at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne in the fall. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are talking with recent graduates of Concordia University St. Paul and Concordia University Chicago who are preparing for studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. We're talking with Robert Finch and Evan Magnus, both also recipients of scholarships, the Regent merit-based scholarship at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Let's talk about plans for attending seminary. When did you first learn about the Regent-based scholarship? I'm sorry, the merit-based Regent scholarship at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, so I heard about it my sophomore year of college. I took my first visit to Fort Wayne, and I was still pretty undecided about which seminary I wanted to go to. And I heard about this Regent scholarship, and I was like, there is no way I would ever receive this scholarship, but I am going to do everything I can to get this scholarship. And so I heard about it, and they said, well, are you at a 4.0 GPA? I said, temporarily, yes. And so they said, well, keep pushing towards it. And so I heard about it probably fall of 2023, if I got my dates right. And I've been pursuing it since then.
Evan, what about you?
I forget when I first heard about it, actually. I think I heard about it in passing a few times throughout in the past few years, but I don't think I'd ever like seriously considered it. Probably for similar, for kind of like Robert thought, it was like, there's no way I'm ever going to get this. I probably had that thought in the back of my mind, oh, I'm not really going to be able to get this, am I? So I didn't really think much of it at first.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I didn't get the presidential scholarship going into CUC. So it's like, you know, and throughout my past 4 years, I've kind of thought to myself, you know, I have solid grades, but I'm not like the most academically minded or obsessive person. So I'm like probably not going to get my hands on the Regents, right? So I just never thought about it much at first. And then I think I heard about it briefly again when I was going through, because the way Fort Wayne works, they have a very generic, broad scholarship application format where you submit your credentials and you submit an essay that you wrote in college for them to review, and they assign you the scholarship based on that. So it's not so much you're applying for specific scholarships as much as it is you're submitting your credentials and they are deciding based on your merits and your efforts what scholarships you get. And I was honestly, frankly, shocked when I got the Regent scholarship because I thought I submitted a pretty solid essay, but then I got a phone call back from Pastor Wheatfelt, and he was like, "You got the Regent." And I had to do a double take about like three times, and I was on the phone with him because I was like, "You said the Regents, right?" And I think even after he told me twice, I still had to be like, "You said the Regents, right?" I could not believe it. I had never really seriously considered the possibility of me getting the Regent scholarship, so it had kind of fallen out of my mind for a while, and I was kind of blown away when I got it. Honestly, some part of me is still kind of wondering how I got it in the first place, because I'm just like, holy cow, they see something in me, but what is it? But but yeah, that's kind of the story about how I think I got that call back in, I think, middle to late March, I want to say. Yeah, late March, because I think early April is about when I accepted my acceptance to Fort Wayne. I'll put it that way. But yeah, I was blown away to receive that scholarship, honestly.
What kind of difference does this make as you guys look forward to entering into seminary in the fall, Robert?
It makes all the difference in the world because I remember whenever I was still a Southern Baptist, I actually had a pathway to avoid college and avoid seminary and just go right into being a pastor. And then all of a sudden, this Lutheran opportunity
is— Does it work like that in the Southern Baptist?
What was that?
Does it work? It works like that in the Southern Baptist church?
It depends on the church. Yeah, it depends on the church. But I was absolutely blown away that there was— But whenever the Lutheran option was presented, 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary. It's like, there's no way I'm going to be a Lutheran pastor. You cannot make me do this. And then Concordia St. Paul offers the $0 tuition guarantee. I was like, okay, maybe there's a way that this could work out. And then I hear about this Regent-based scholarship. And I was thinking, if I can devote all my attention to my studies, if I can devote all my attention to the biblical languages, to studying the primary text, to memorizing Greek paradigms and working on my sermons, and I don't have to worry about this large financial debt. And I want to have a family someday too, and I don't want to have all this debt looming over me. This makes all the difference in the world. I'm excited for my future. Of course, there's anxiety about the future, no doubt, but the fact that I get to be excited that the Lord has provided all of this, I don't know why the Lord has provided provided this wonderful gift, but he's provided this for me. And so now I just get to study. I get to work hard. I get to pursue the idea of a family. And all of that is just extraordinarily exciting.
Absolutely. So, fall is only a few months away. You guys have very recently graduated. You're kind of in this interim period before seminary. When do you start classes? What are you looking forward to? What classes are you taking? Talk to us about those plans for the fall, Robert.
Yeah, so I actually have an internship at the Fort Wayne Seminary over the summer, okay, which I'm very excited about. I had this last summer as well, but I'm working with their admissions team, and we're working on creating resources to bring in more people to the seminary. So last summer, it's actually about to be released officially. I wrote a devotional called Discerning Pastoral Vocation, something like this. So this will be released very shortly. I'm going to be doing something similar this summer as well. So I get to live on campus, which I'm very excited about. But I'll officially start in the fall. I don't know what my classes are yet, but I'm anxiously awaiting to receive my class schedule because they plan all that for you. Mm-hmm. I think your fall quarter, and then you get to pick it out later. But gosh, it is extremely exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but I'm very excited I have the summer to kind of get my feet wet with campus a little bit.
Sure.
And we're going to talk more about that project in another episode.
Yeah.
That's we're going to talk more about the devotion. Yes. We've invited him back to tell us more about his experience with that internship and writing that project or that devotional as well. Mm-hmm. Evan, how does the scholarship make a difference for you as a student pursuing the Master of Divinity and Pastoral Formation? How does the scholarship make a difference for you?
That's definitely a financial burden off of my family because my dad's attending seminary right now as well at St. Louis. He's doing the residential alternate route. And this is honestly just such a blessing because I know I'm basically getting paid to go to seminary at this point, which is just such a financial burden off. It's really freeing, honestly. And being able, knowing that I'm going to be able to go to seminary without having to fear so much for like my financials, it's going to allow me to focus on studies so much more, focus on formation a whole lot more than I would otherwise. Yeah, and also as for the summer plans for this like coming year, I don't have an internship like Robert planned. He's doing a lot more than I am. Props to him. I'm honestly very impressed. I did a few internships in the past over the summer as well, but nothing like this. I'm very impressed with Robert and grateful that he has an opportunity like this. I have a bit more of a restful summer, so I'm able to prepare and advance for seminary. I'm going to be like trying to keep my Greek up to scratch over the summer as well, and my reading regimen up and everything. My main goal. I have a couple projects up in the works over the summer. But honestly, it's going to be a bit, it's going to be like my last summer at home before adulthood really hits, for lack of a better term, you know.
I feel
it's like,
you.
It's like final summer at home with parents, and then everything kind of hits, and there's no going back once you hit seminary, right? So I'm going to be keeping myself busy and keeping myself in the Word and in the languages and everything this summer, but also, I'm going to be taking time to enjoy family before I have to really lock into seminary. But I'm also in the same boat as Robert in a sense. I don't really know what classes I'm going to be taking quite yet. I still need to register. And of course, they're going to be preparing the schedule for me anyways. I know one class I do anticipate taking because I visited Fort Wayne earlier this semester. One of the classes I got to sit in on was Confessions with Grobian. And I was very impressed with his format of teaching, just because of how focused he is. He is a very much a no-nonsense professor, very much to the point, right to the text, which goes with Fort Wayne's latest emphasis on ad fontes, from the fonts, from the primary sources, which I'm so glad that they're emphasizing. So I'm looking forward to having that course with him eventually, if I had to name one course.
What can congregations and parents and others be doing to encourage young people like you to consider futures in church work? Evan?
I'd say one thing is make clear to the youth and also to those considering church work what exactly the ministry is. Because I think there's a bit of a misconception with a lot of people about what the being a pastor really means. I think a lot of times people see it as like, oh, he's the guy that oversees all the ceremonies and he oversees oversees the sermons. He does the sermons and he preaches the doctrine. He sees the confession and everything. But through all of that, and all of that's not necessarily wrong, of course, but because the pastor does like lead the service and everything. But without the core essence of that, without having the core essence of that, which is knowing that the pastoral office is the office of the care of souls, of being separate for the sheep and caring for those who either need to hear the law preached to them or the gospel administered to them, and ultimately be directed back to Christ, without having that understanding of the pastor as a shepherd, as someone who occupies the office of gospel preaching, and administration of the sacraments, of course, body and blood of Christ. Without that understanding, he's not going to really understand what the pastoral office is really about. And if someone is going to be motivated to pursue that office, he needs to know what office he's pursuing. And also, you need to seek out people who are going to be, who are going to have like the, I would say pastoral characteristics. You hear about these in the epistles to Timothy and Titus, written by Paul, about qualifications for the ministry. I think a lot of people are going to like have a high appreciation, high regard for the office, but they're not going to think highly of themselves enough to really pursue the office. So they might need a bit of a nudge out the door. I would encourage pastors to seek these people out in their congregations who might have the qualifications they find listed in the epistles, and also a proper understanding of the office, and encourage those people to consider this path towards the office of the holy ministry, because it is a vocation. And granted, we don't all just have one vocation in life. We have many vocations as the people of Christ, as Christ's children and Christ's brothers and sisters. But if there is someone in your congregation who you believe has the characteristics and the understanding of the ministry, but they're not like considering it, nudge them in that direction. Tell them that they have an opportunity to bless people, because the ministry is the blessing business. So inform them that they have the opportunity to bless some people through this work, and that they should definitely consider it as a route, not the route, but a route that Christ might be calling them to.
Robert, what about you? How can congregations and parents and pastors and Lutheran school teachers encourage youth to consider church work?
Just thinking back of all the people who've encouraged me, and have your listeners ever heard of Set Apart to Serve before?
Has that ever come up? Yeah. Maybe a couple of times.
I remember whenever I was first looking into the pastoral ministry in the LCMS, it was hard to find resources. But then Set Apart to Serve has come along and just gives all of these resources to the church, to parents, to pastors. I mean, it is just phenomenal. So what I recommend is, if you see a student in your church, young guy, old guy, anybody in church, and they are asking questions, they are attentive in the divine service, just ask, have you ever considered being a pastor before? Have you ever considered being a teacher or a director of Christian education? And they'll probably ask, what is a director of Christian education? You can hand them one of these handy dandy Set Apart to Serve booklets that explains all the different church work vocations. I mean, Set Apart to Serve could not make it any easier to encourage people to church work. And if you find young men who are potentially interested in pastoral ministry, tell them that Fort Wayne has a brand new devotional out called Pastoral Discernment Devotional that they'll send for free to anybody who is interested. So there are just so many resources. Pray for them, talk with them, give them free books. People love free books. Give them, at least I do, just give them free books, Set Apart to Serve resources. There are just so many ways in which you can encourage young men and young women to pursue church work vocations.
It's almost like Mr. Finch has done some work with Set Apart to Serve.
Something like that.
I can't imagine why I'm getting that impression.
I'm making Pastor Bonnick proud right now.
Our guest today, Evan Magnus, 2026 graduate of Concordia University Chicago, attending Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne in the fall as a recipient of the Regents Scholarship. Mm-hmm. Evan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Also, Robert Finch, 2026 graduate of Concordia University, St. Paul, and attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne as a recipient of the Merit-Based Regents Scholarship there as well. Robert, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.